first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. I got a few texts to get to. I think I've mostly taken care of these and put these fires out, but we will get to them before the conclusion of today's program. Joining us now on the line, very pleased to bring on my buddy, my talk show brethren here from Right Side Radio. You can hear him in Birmingham now and in Huntsville. If you're ever up that way, check it out. Phil Williams on with us. Phil, Senator, good morning. How are you?
Hey, brother. How you doing? I'm doing well.
Doing well as well. Real quick, we won't belabor this because they've heard me belabor it all morning long, but I was curious, the Tuberville controversy. Do you have an opinion on that?
Well, I mean, you know, first of all, the liberals need something to latch onto. How dare a Republican speak out and utter words that are verboten? You know, you can't be a conservative and use the word reparation because it's only construed the way they want it to be construed. So first of all, I don't believe that Tuberville said what they want the world to believe he said. I don't think he was truly out there trying to co-opt their message of reparations, you know, for slavery and that kind of thing. But the other piece of this is, I mean, and then of course he had that, you know, that pretty crass moment there where he uttered the BS, and emphatically, he had to know when he did that, that it was going to become a headline. And I think, I mean, Tuberville's, by the way, he's no dummy. He's a smart guy. He's known how to call plays for a long time. He went in there with a passion to fire up the troops, fire up the team, as you would a halftime, you know, locker room talk. He knew exactly what he's doing. He knew what the headlines would be. And, I think he's just being Tuberville.
Well, and like Tuberville doing Tuberville things and Tuberville, you know, maybe he should have chosen his words more carefully. He's a United States Senator. You got to be very, you need to be very judicious about what you say. I mean, I understand, but what I don't like, but a part that bugs me the most about this is people telling us what we have to believe about it. That if you don't, if you don't consider the benefit of the doubt here, if you don't try to do some kind of critical analysis, you don't get to do that. You shut up and you believe what we tell you. That's the part that I find the most offensive. It's just by the way, Senator, by very dumb people in the Alabama media.
Yeah, I mean, they're the same dumb people who need the narrative to be what they need it to be every time. They need Republicans to be seen in the negative light. They need conservatives to somehow be seen as, you know, insensitive to the needs of the demographics of the day. And it's crap. All said and done. Tommy Tuberville is the same guy who held up the thumb, you know, that caused so much angst when he held up the thumb when he was a coach. He knew what he was doing when he did that. He knew what he was doing when he said these words. He also knew that his intent was not what they wanted to be. I'm looking forward to blow over here pretty soon. He's not running for office. They just need something to make hay about right now.
Yeah, but they're not going to win on this. Well, at least within the eyes of Alabamians, maybe they win in their at their book club meeting or whatever. But well, anyway, enough of that. We'll move on to the next. So I was telling listeners about in the last segment about the AEA, and you know we've been talking about this for months. Watch the AEA as it gravitates more and more to try to be Republican friendly. Well, Erica Thomas' story at the lead on 1819 News this morning. AEA drops $1.5 million on state politics this election cycle. Republicans beneficiaries over Democrats by a 2-to-1 margin. Now, like I get it, there's more Republicans than there are Democrats, whatever. However, you remember these days, Senator, when the antics of Paul Hubbard, the antics of Joe Reed, the old AEA, and the I's for yes and the no's for no, and he was the sort of the shadow governor of the state, and he was the devil in the eyes of Republicans. Well, while have we made an evolution over the last decade?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, never mind the fact that the Republican Party has a platform statement that says that a resolution passed by the executive committee of the state party that says that no elected official in the Republican Party should ever take money from the AEA. And yet they do. And this, when I got elected in 2010, we pretty much emasculated the AEA in the years thereafter. And they've had a resurgence, and they've had a resurgence because a lot of the old fight is not there anymore. About a third or more of the legislature has swapped out over time, and they don't remember the days of the fight with the AEA. They don't remember the fact that the AEA kept conservatism stuffed into a basket somewhere in a corner for so many years and spent us into oblivion. And to this day, we're trying to unwind some of the budgeting processes that they helped create. But I've seen the AEA literally get involved in legislation that had nothing to do with education, just to stop a conservative message from getting out. All that to say, that's historical. It shouldn't be happening. They shouldn't be taking money from the AEA. But the other piece of this is the current. Historical is one thing, but the current. Why would you take money from an organization affiliated with the NEA? The same organization that puts masks on kids, wants to shut down schools, you know, demands transgender curriculums be taught or acknowledged, and then defends teachers who do those things. Why would you want to take money from that organization and then be proud to be a Republican thereafter? It flies in the face of good sense.
Well, I feel like this kind of snuck up on us, though. You know, we didn't really have this discussion about the AEA. Is the AEA, has it changed its stripes? I mean, a little they have. Then but they just said, we're just going to show up one day at the State House and hand it out checks or whatever, it seems to me, to be the case. And, you know, the AEA used to do this, guys. Paul Hubbard would tie up every other matter of the state legislature till he got what he wanted. And
exactly
that mean, you know, there, nothing got through until Paul Hubbard and the AEA got what they wanted. And then by virtue of that, then the legislature could deal with the rest of its business. And that's, you know, people need to be reminded how an all powerful entity, and this would be true for PCI if they ever get a stranglehold on game, but one all powerful entity in the state, it could go the way of the AEA, what it used to be. And I don't see how that feathers any kind of Republican or conservative ideals.
No, and you guys at 1819, where you're the executive editor, and me with Right Side Radio, we've been hammering the question of tax relief lately. I've done the last 2 days in a row, I've been doing segments on tax relief and will there ever be. And the truth be told, the majority of places in the state of Alabama where you're going to see the potential for tax relief come from the tax collection portions of our revenue code that deal with the education budget. Meaning, if you want tax relief, guess who's going to be down there lobbying against it? The AEA. If you think a sales tax cut on groceries or a lowering of the gas tax, or for that matter, if you think it's a good idea just to go ahead and adjust the gross income tax rates, all of that feeds education. Well, education is flush. They've got over $10 billion in revenue allocated for that budget. And yet the AEA will continue to oppose any potential for tax relief on the poorest citizens of the state. You know why? Because it fits their narrative. And yet Republicans are taking money. So you wonder why you're not getting tax relief. You wonder why you're not getting school choice. Look who's giving money to Republicans now. Big money.
Well, and it's remarkable because, aside from campaign donations, what else is the AEA offering here? A cogent philosophy on education in Alabama? I mean, we've done it the AEA's way for decades, and what has that gotten us? You try to figure out, well, why would you buy into what these guys are doing? So the day the Marsh School Choice Bill drops, right, at the State House that day, it was a zoo. I was there. 40 AEA affiliated lobbyists in the hallways there to send a signal. Not that they were actually doing a lot, but they were sending a signal to legislators that this is the hill we're going to die on.
Yeah, and you know, truth be told, we were willing to die on that hill. I can't tell you the amount of heat that we took for passing the Accountability Act in 2013 to allow there to be a failing school system. Like you have literally a metric by which you would decide something is a failing school. Like that wasn't even there before. And then give parents a choice to move their kids out of that failing school. Well, when we dropped that bill, listen, I got the nastiest emails, the nastiest messages, the screaming phone calls I got in the wee hours of the morning, the strange letters that showed up in my personal mailbox without stamps on them, meaning they were delivered by hand. They all came in relation to AEA members. And folks, I'm just telling you, that organization is willing to go back to those tactics if necessary. But right now they don't have to because they're buying the good graces of too many Republicans.
Right. And so here we are today. Well, you know, they're easing their way back into the discussion, but we never had that discussion. You know, people voted in 2010 to take power away from Democrats and to give it to Republicans, in large part because of the AEA. And this new, now some of these guys are new, but you know, Senator Whatley came in with that 2010 crowd. You go down the list here and you see some names that have been, you know, staples in Alabama politics. They came in, and now they're contradicting themselves. And there ought to be a real, like, I got a real problem with that.
I don't disagree with you. And when I read the list, I saw a few of those names too. I think the bulk of them are the ones who did not endure the fights that we were willing to endure in the first crowd of the 2010 class. But I am shocked at a few of the ones who have taken it. You know, the guy who took my place when I left the Senate in 2018, the guy who got elected to follow me took a sizable chunk of money from the AEA, and I'm shocked by that, to be honest.
Yeah, he's a guy. I mean, he's a guy that's pretty smart on taxes. Andrew Jones of Center, and you know, it's disappointing, but is this a reality that you need AEA money to get elected if you're any of these guys? I don't think that's the case. You look at the Whatley lost. Mike Jones lost his bid for Jimmy Hawley's seat. Gil Isbell, three of the top five lost their primaries that took the most money from the AEA.
Yeah, I agree. I think it should be living proof that you don't have to have their money to prevail. And then the other side of this is you have to look at it and go, and then why would you? Because what does that say about you? I'm flummoxed by it. I think it's something that we need to continue riding on. And I appreciate the fact that Erica wrote that article.
Yeah, well, it's strange, and like it just happened all of a sudden. But something you just mentioned, the opposition to these tax cuts. And so Governor Ivey, at the end of the fiscal year, put out a statement. You know, tax rebates maybe, but we're not going to do no changes to the tax code because we don't know what lies around the corner. And sort of kind of the same message Greg Reed offered us on Capital Journal on Friday night that, you know, we're going to take a look at it, but we need to be real careful here. But, you know, as our friend Senator Elliott said, you know, the starve the beast thing, maybe not, but we need to put the beast on a diet. And that would start with cutting some taxes and make the legislature make some tough decisions because government and their Republicans has done nothing but grow.
Yeah, and listen, here's the thing. They don't have the luxury of just setting it off to the side. There's no such thing as government money you're allowed to hoard. Now, there's ways by which it can be reserve accounts and that kind of thing, but we have reserve accounts for both budgets, but they're capped, and they're capped at a percentage, and they can't reserve more than that amount. We have, you know, a trust fund, which has been established by law, and they can put a little bit there sometimes. But for the most part, they have no choice but to either appropriate the money, put it where it's already supposed to go, earmark it to something, which means they still have to appropriate it, or give it back or pass a new law. That's the other option they have, is pass a new law that says we can save it over here. So the reality is legislative action has to happen on the money regardless. They can't just sit on it. And one of their options is to give it back. And it's amazing to me that they think that they can just say, well, a rainy day could come. What is a rainy day? So, I mean, the people of the state are in a rainy day. And the truth be told, if they're going to do something meaningful with it, they either A, grow government, or they B, help their constituents. That's about it.
Tangentially related to that, have you ever met anybody that has gotten internet from the rural broadband initiatives in real life?
No, I mean, I can't say that I have.
But I haven't either. But we're always told, we need that money for rural broadband, Jeff, or we need it for, I don't know, whatever. I keep hearing about this rural broadband phenomenon, but I've never actually met the recipient of rural broadband. I know, that's what you hear, that we need one-time things, and I've been hearing about this for 20 years, it seems like, but, well, maybe not that long with rural broadband, but we need it for this, we need it for that, and whatever happens with that, like, am I missing something here?
I think rural broadband is as much infrastructure as, you know, roads and bridges, and it's extremely costly. And which is interesting, by the way, when you look at it, because apparently Elon Musk can say, I am turning on the internet for all of Ukraine. Bam, and they've got it overnight. He gives them Starlink. So why do we have to set up this massive, I don't know the answer to this, but why do we have to set up this massive infrastructure across the state to allow rural broadband? Why don't we just call Elon Musk and say, how much would it cost to have Starlink for all of Alabama? I don't know the answer to that question, but it's an interesting thought.
Yeah, well, I know what's going on. It's utilities. Utilities run the show here, but that's a discussion for another time. Hey, Senator, folks want to check out Right Side Radio or read your fantastic column on this great site called 1819 News. Find you on Twitter, any of that. Tell them how to do so.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. You can find everything about the show at rightsideradio.org, and we broadcast across all of North Alabama from Clanton to the Tennessee line. Thanks, man.
Y'all check that out. Former State Senator Phil Williams. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
So high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton fields and didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run in. On down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Hear Richard Best picking on that red guitar. So get around, now get around, chill and be down. Well, just get down, chill and get loud. Well, you can be loud here and be proud. And you can be proud here and I'll be proud. Forever, because South's gonna do it again and again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us. What's led to this Wednesday morning? Real quick, Gus, I remember when spring break was called AEA holiday. I do too, Gus. Bob, hey, Jeff, are you going to ask Chris Elliott about that come Friday? I've asked him about his AEA contributions in the past. And he's always said he believes in what they do for teachers. But one thing you had to give him a pass on here is he wasn't part of that 2010 crowd that ran against the AEA to get in power. So they still voted. I'm not giving him a pass here, but it is a peculiar phenomenon, Bob. Dirt. Tuberville found his inner Trump. We are tired of good old proper politicians. We need blue-collar, start-on-bottom, build their way up. That resent the common Americans instead of lawyers and upper crust of society talking a language we people understand. And that does it for the texting portion of this program. But you don't need to go anywhere because plenty of good portions are coming up on a much superior program than this claptrap on Midday Mobile. Sean Sullivan taking the helm here. What you got today, Sean?
The upper crust of society, you mean like billionaires and billionaires? I mean, just want to point out, right? I mean, they talk about, yes, they talk a language we can all understand, but it's not like Donald Trump had to use his last $35 to get his car to the campaign event. Now, you know,
it's like, he didn't stay at the Holiday Inn Express last night, right, for sure.
He bought a couple. That's not the politics. It's just I just want to make sure we're calling things what they are. Midday Mobile coming up today. Lots to do on today's show in hour number two. Cam Marston, host of What's Working, is going to join me. Also, John Hill from Ascension Technology. That hack at the airports. You saw that story, right? They hacked the airports?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to talk about that. John does internet security and all things tech. He's going to join me to talk about that. Also, my friend John Young has an event for men in Mobile to unite on November 19th to stand up to gun violence. This is something that I've been talking with him about. It has got a date now. He's going to give us details on that coming up at 12:30. And leadoff batter, AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl, joining us here in just a few minutes on Midday Mobile.
Well, y'all need to stay right where you are and check that out. Hey, what is you have a more measured and tempered view of the world than I do. What do you think of this AEA stuff?
Well, I mean, if you put yourself in their loafers, I mean, AEA is going to do what they're going to do, right? Because they got to get influence. Should Republicans have some kind of litmus test on this? I don't know. I mean, if you can prove it changes somebody's opinion, I mean, that's been, you know, always my argument. If a politician takes money from somebody but doesn't vote any differently than they would otherwise, then they're just getting money, you know?
Yeah, I feel like it's something, a phenomenon that's happened without very much discussion, but that's for another time. All right, guys, I got to get out of here. I will try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Make no mistake, an IRS problem is a serious legal matter. I'm local attorney John Willis. My law office is in Fairhope, Alabama, and we focus exclusively on helping people solve